Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're speaking this morning on the TroCare College Live Line with Shamika Burnett Matthews, administrative organizer with the 1199 SEIU, as we are talking about the potential for strike at 11 long-term care facilities coming up in less than 24 hours. Shamika, thanks for being with us once again. Still 11 facilities. At the beginning, it was 15. Four tentative deals have been reached, but it appears that not much progress has been made over the weekend, or at least no new deals have been announced. Is that right?
That is correct. And we will continue to bargain all day today with as many employers that are willing to come to the table.
Did negotiations continue over the weekend? Were you hopeful?
Yes, they did.
And are you hopeful that there will be more agreements before tomorrow?
Yes, that's the plan. Obviously, our members are willing to strike over the quality benefits they deserve, but again, they'd like to be inside taking care of their residents and reach a tentative deal before tomorrow morning.
I know we were talking about a week ago of around 2,500 nursing home workers across Western New York who might be striking. Now, with some of these deals that have been reached, what's the number, to the best of your knowledge, of how many workers could be on strike tomorrow?
We are still over 1,000 workers, closer to 2,000 more so than over 2,000 now.
Okay. And let me ask you, when would the walkouts begin if there are no deals? Would it be at midnight?
No. What would happen is our healthcare workers would finish their overnight shift and walk out at 5:59 a.m. The strike lines would begin at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Now, when we heard about a couple of deals being reached, then a couple more, I think a lot of people were under the assumption, okay, well, it shouldn't take that long now, because if one deal's made, shouldn't that be the framework that would work for workers at another facility and so on and so forth? But that hasn't proven to necessarily been the case so far. How different are these deals, to the best of your knowledge, from facility to facility in what's being offered, what's being asked for, and what might we see at the end of the day? Do you expect all of these to be relatively similar, or are there some key differences facility to facility?
Well, the main goal of all, of course, quality benefits. The differences with ownership, 10 out of 11 of the facilities are for-profit, and we really need our for-profit out-of-town owners to make investments and to improve the staffing levels here. They don't see what's going on the day-to-day because they're not here. So we really, really need them to pay attention and what's going on here in Western New York.
We've heard that staffing, wages, and benefits are really the three main issues. Is staffing number one?
Absolutely. Staffing rolls into the complete package of the quality benefits. So that's our pension plans, our child care fund, health insurance, quality wages, and of course, that'll help with recruitment and retention.
We've heard about a lot of troubles with nursing homes and long-term care facilities being economically viable. How has that factored into the negotiations you've been having over the past few months?
So our main goal really right now is just to have the employers willing to come to the table. Some of our groups, like our most difficult ones, are two of the largest healthcare organizations, the McGuire Group and the Elderwood, who either refuse to come to the table or only bargain for a short amount of time with us.
When you say refuse to come to the table, do you mean that these negotiations are scheduled but they're not happening?
So what has happened? The Elderwood facilities, we have been in negotiations since last summer, and they implemented the last, best, and final from their management team in March without even giving the membership time to vote on it. And by the time the votes were done, then the membership had voted the last, best, and final down. Elder went ahead and implemented it. They unilaterally implemented their best and final, and the members, it's not something that they wanted. With the McGuire group did not initially come to the table until we started with our job actions, and we've now had to have a mediator come in during negotiations.
Okay, so the mediator comes in. Any progress made then, or has that not helped that much?
Not yet. We will be back at the table with McGuire with the mediator again today as well.
Shamika, what is the mood of the members, especially going into this deadline tomorrow?
So our members are excited to be sticking together, that they're not alone. Other healthcare workers are all walking out together, but they're also worried about their residents. These are healthcare workers. Their passion is taking care of their residents. They have built bonds with these residents. They want to make sure that they're taken care of. They have even went to management themselves and said, you know, can we reach some type of deal so we do not have to do this? But most importantly, they have to be able to take care of their families and themselves, or they can't take care of the residents.
We saw in some of the tentative deals that were reached in the past week, wages raise as much as 22% right off the bat, and then smaller annual increases to the raises that workers would receive. That 22% number, is that about where workers are at these other 11 facilities?
In regards to the tentative agreements?
To what you'd be looking for in terms of an immediate pay increase.
Yeah, so that's just an average number over the duration of the 3-year contract.
But is that generally what you're looking for at these other 11 facilities?
Yes, they're close to it. Right now, the rates are extremely low, barely over minimum wage for our service workers. So we're looking for significant increases across the board.
What do you think the chances that you'll have a settlement today with all of these 11?
We'd love to settle all of them, but right now, with the way it's been going with our Elderwoods and the McGuire group, Dr. Jeffrey Rubin and Cole, we're just not sure that that'll be possible. But we are willing all day. You know, we've started at 6 a.m. this morning. We'll go all afternoon, all evening, all facilities. Our organizers, our vice president, everyone has made themselves available to be able to bargain with each employer that is listed to have a strike take place.
Well, Shamika, thank you for joining us once again, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. Shamika Burnett Matthews with the 1199 SEIU, workers at 11 long-term care facilities, poised to go on strike tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now, and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.